Okay, that was 5%. Please on the back.
Welcome everybody. What should be, I think, the final meeting this year in the sequence of budget scrutiny panel meetings. Welcome. In accordance with our usual procedures, this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council's website. Please also note under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014 that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. Everybody comfortable with that? Understand that?
Yeah.
Good. Welcome our new chief exec, who is not so new, but relatively new still, and I haven't said hello to you properly or met, but hello, nice to see you.
Thank you, Chair. Nice to see you.
Thank you very much for coming along tonight. We appreciate your presence. I will move into the agenda. We are largely a one-item agenda tonight, but I just warrants attention before Monday's meeting. And a couple of other bits I'd just like to raise. Item one, apologies. I don't believe we have any. Minutes of the previous meeting to confirm as a correct record the minutes of the previous meeting. Are we happy with those? I will sign them at the end. I won't sign them now because it takes me 5 minutes to do it. So I'll do that at the end of the meeting if everyone is comfortable with that. Are we all okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest. Do we have any? Declarations of the party whip. Questions under scrutiny committee procedure 11.17. No questions were submitted. That brings us to item six and the panel report. So the way I'd just like to tackle this, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody for the contribution you've made this year. We were small but well formed, and a couple of us have been here for a while, and I think that benefits this committee, and I hope members here will stay the course over the next few years, because I think it is important that there are a group of councillors in scrutiny who, to be frank, have the best shot at understanding the budgets, because it's not the easiest thing in the world. So I think it's good that we gain experience. I would like to see some newer members here who want to learn. I will write the same email if I'm in the same position again going forward to encourage some other perhaps less experienced members to want to get involved, because it takes 2 or 3 years to get to grips with the budget issues. So I hope it's been a satisfactory process for everybody. I'm very happy to take some comments on the report in a moment. What I'd also like to do, after we've taken any comments on this report, I'd quite like to just comment on where we were this time last year, on last year's report, and comment on one or two bits of the good and bad that we've achieved. When I look back at where we were and what we were saying this time last year, I think it's relatively pertinent to our report this year. And I've got a few points, good and bad, that I'd like to draw out from this paper, this exact time last year. Councillors will indulge me, because I just think it's important that we see where progress is made and we can highlight where we're perhaps uncomfortable. It hasn't been made in the report we're sending in on Monday. At the end of the day, I have to present this on Monday, so you have to be comfortable with what I'm going to say. So are there any comments or observations? Are you happy with what's there? Are you happy with the report? Substantive changes, comments, observations, you're comfortable with the tone, the way it's written, etc., etc. No comments? Easy cake meeting, Chief Exec. You're going to have an easy time tonight.
That's good.
So, what I'd like to do to just follow that up, and as part of the same item, is just touch on where we were this time last year.
Sorry, Chair. Can I?
You can.
Can I make? Am I allowed to make?
You certainly are. You can say something.
Just in terms of process, what happens is once the report's agreed, then, and Laura will correct me, but once the report's agreed, then there'll need to be some officer comments against the recommendations. So which basically comes down to me. So if I could maybe just ask for some clarification on some of the comments, and maybe ask for a little bit more in terms of specifics that will allow me to comment really.
Just through it page by page.
If that would help us, it's basically within the recommendations. So they're the principal bits. Focus on. So first, just in terms of 5.1, I think I appreciate the desire to get information as soon as possible. The only thing I would say is at the moment, or in recent years, that has been quite difficult, because We haven't necessarily known where we are in terms of the funding, the pattern. So this time next year, it might be similarly difficult. Going forward, I'm hoping that the finance fair funding review, as part of that, will get a multi-year settlement. So as part of that, I then would hope that we would have a much more long-term, but hopefully a 2-3-4 year time horizon, which actually will help us all. So it'll help us all in terms of understanding what we're shooting at, and we will actually be able to have a more robust 3-4 year plan, because we will have a much better understanding of our financial position. That's just an observation with that. So that's likely to be the sort of comment I would make.
Are members happy I respond to that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think the crux behind item one, as you know, or is that I think we want a better context at the start of the budget process, in which we can then devise how we question and challenge the budget. And I think it's incumbent upon Cabinet via officers to present us an appropriate framework and an appropriate direction of travel, and to be able to articulate that clearly to us, such that directs our questions. And you know from my time on this panel that I've been extraordinarily uncomfortable that we have not had that given to us, and therefore the first meeting is a set of numbers that I could have plucked out of fairyland and stuck on the piece of paper, because there was no context in which to challenge them. I don't mean that literally. I cannot challenge a set of numbers without a context on which to do that. And this panel for a number of years has worked, and I think it was better this year, and I think we'd like to see that continued. Direction of travel, I would hope the lead member and other lead members as appropriate can come and present the entire context in which we're being asked to look at the budget, so that we can then direct our future meetings to the appropriate areas, be that we're going in this direction of travel now to achieve this. That allows us then to challenge the budget numbers appropriately, to say why have we gone this way, not that way, as opposed to a set of numbers we've had in the past, which there was no context as to why that's 1 million, not 2 million, why is it 10 million, why is it 5? There was no context to achieve something from our perspective. So I think we welcome the improvement this year and hope that continues. And again, I look to members to either say yes or no to that. It's just for a number of years.
Just have one thing if I may, Chair, which is that it presupposes to some extent that the corporate plan is at least half formulated. There's some reasonable understanding of how the figures fit to the corporate plan. So I think that's the problem, that this idea of context. We did have to draw out, I think, where the council was going, and still are doing, I would say, rather than that being provided. That's the idea.
And I think that the second point is about we're not saying it's going to happen. We recognise the MTFS is the document that leads, but I think we are suggesting from what we understand, what we've seen in other councils, what we are aware of, that longer term sustainability is difficult to articulate in a 4 year time frame, and that we might want to suggest to Cabinet they might want to in the background be considering a longer term prime time frame to achieve what we want to achieve,
particularly on investment.
So
if I may, to add to that, I think the concept of being able to provide that context that you want and to build on the improvement you referred to this year is absolutely fine. We'd be happy to support that. The challenge that I think Simon is referring to is that some of the key contextual information will need to come from government in terms of what our funding will be, and we simply don't have it. So it will very much, as it has done over the last couple of years, look at a range of potential scenarios with a clear agreement about which one we are basing our MTFS on and how optimistic or prudent or pessimistic that is. And I think that's something that we've arrived at this year in terms of what we know and what we don't know, and then choosing a position that everyone is broadly comfortable with. In terms of the other aspects of direction of travel, picking up on Councillor Bain's point about the corporate plan, we're obviously transitioning to a new corporate plan. That corporate plan is a mix of external facing objectives around shaping Charnwood as a place, and a number of internal organisational, our council type objectives. and that in its first iteration as a corporate plan would be relatively high level, but the business plan that sits underneath that will start to go into more detail, and then a number of work strands and programs that will sit under that will go into even more detail. And through myself and through Simon and through other colleagues, I'm sure there'll be a number of different opportunities through cabinet reports, scrutiny reports, to be really clear about what we are going to deliver through those work programmes and how that will change the nature of council over a period of 3 to 5 to longer time frame. Okay,
thank you.
Okay, if I may just touch on 5.5, so the one that talked about suggestions for reduction in controls. So the experience is that less important areas are often over-controlled, whereas more strategic areas are not controlled at all. So just for me, is that, if there are some specific examples around the council?
Councillor Bob might wish to follow that one.
It was my point, it was not, when I reread it this evening, I realised that it probably gave the impression I was referring to the council.
Yeah.
In fact, it's through my years as a consultant working in this area with a whole range of organisations that I just know from experience that that is factual, but not specific to the council, and therefore I can't come up with examples.
So the likely answer to that is we are embarking, or it is highly likely we'll embark on a series of service reviews, which will vary in their depth, but it may well be that we'll go through the sort of process mapping process and looking at the sort of control points within business process as part of that. So if the office of rounds will probably be couched in that sort of term. So that's what I will, that's how I'll treat that, having had that clarification.
And I just think that what I found as well is that less important areas, they're actually easy to develop controls over, and so people tend to build layer upon layer upon layer, whereas the more strategic things are more difficult to build controls in. And I think that's just what that sort of 20 years of experience working in the area.
Thank you, Chair. So if I may just add to that, I think as Simon says, the set of reviews that we hope to undertake, some of which might be corporate in nature, looking at thematic issues, others of which might be service focused, will inevitably, I think, cover some of those processes and allow us to review some controls. And you're quite right, Councillor Bolton, they tend to build up over time, and sometimes when you look back up, they're not what they were originally designed to do or become disproportionate. So I think it is a good and regular exercise to continue on with that review over time, and the intent will be to review most services over a 4 to 5 year period to help, if nothing else, just to check and challenge some of the processes that are built up.
Thank you, great.
Okay, thank you. And then my final one really is, I suppose, in terms of revenue generation, and there's a second bullet point, it talks about there a need to ensure that appropriate skills and culture change.
Which number are we on?
Sorry, this is 6.1, second bullet point. So there's a need to ensure that appropriate skills and culture change are embedded. I just wonder if you're able to provide me with a little bit more of a steer or a bit more context of what that's getting at, again, to just help me with the response, really.
I think that the gist of that observation is that there is probably an understanding that moving forward in the direction that we think the council is needing to go and picking up that direction, that the skill set may not necessarily reside immediately within the four walls now.
Right, okay.
And I think what we're saying there is that we need to be aware of that. Mm. We're not necessarily, I live in an entrepreneurial corporate world, other people will live in a big corporate world, other people will live in a public sector world, and that there are different cultures that exist with different views. And I think what we're trying to say there, and members can tell me otherwise, is that we can't just pick up a more commercial entrepreneurial view of the world and drop it onto a council. and expect everyone to be fine with that. I think we're just trying to highlight that. Mm. We it's the people side.
No, absolutely.
I think that's what we're trying to say.
Thank you. I wholly understand that. That's absolutely fine. That's very helpful.
Just to add to that as well, thank you, Chair. I think that's true, and it's true within the council itself as well, isn't it? There'll be some areas of this council that are perhaps a bit more entrepreneurial and commercial in their approach, to the town hall, for example, and there are others which are perhaps less so because of the nature of their work. So you're quite right. We need to be very conscious of the different types of culture we want in our different types of services, and I think some of the work we've been doing with the commercialisation panel might help us identify which parts of the council we might want to see being a bit more commercial, and that might then start to identify where we load up some of that training and culture change, alongside identifying areas where we clearly do not have the right skills and capacity in-house and therefore need to build or bring in or buy in that capacity.
As Mr. Jackson would know, it's unlike me to be fluffy and soft, but I think that's our effort at the people side of understanding the culture is changing.
I understand completely, Chair. Thank you. So that's my comment. So thank you for that.
And will you be responding on Monday at CSA? The Scrutiny Commission, is that you attend? Is that for you to attend?
So I'll probably help with that. So the panel's report will go as it is if the panel agree to Scrutiny Commission, because it's really just a channel that.
No one needs to respond to that.
No, the Office of Response is coming at the stage where it goes to the cabinet.
I think just as well to say that the forward in particular I think is really helpful, just in terms of where we are as a council, and I think it echoes some of my sentiments and some of the messaging that I've been given since I arrived. So I do find that very helpful, and thank you to the panel for having produced this report, and in particular that forward. I also note, I'm not sure which one of the points it is, about making sure we take people with us and the communication. There are plans for...
5-5.
Thank you, Chair. There are some plans for corporate updates for employees in sort of March time. And I've talked with the communications manager about the potential for a seminar for members around the same sort of time of year, which would allow us perhaps to pick up where we are with the corporate plan, some of the direction of travel you referred to, Chair, and perhaps also some of the financial context as far as we can at that point, given what we know at that point and looking ahead. So that's something that I'll talk to Simon about potentially as a response to that particular point. I'd be keen to perhaps dovetail the two things there. So thank you, Chair.
That would be helpful to members.
Thank you very much, just
before we pass the report, in case there are any additions, I just think it's pertinent to run through where we were this time last year. And I'd just like to pick up on a couple of points, if I may, because you may wish to either add, subtract, or do nothing to the current report in any way. I picked up this report from last year just to see what we were saying at this time last year. And as I run through, I've highlighted a few sections I'd just like us to note. I note the projected... We talked a lot about underspend last year. And this is the first year I've been in this room where, in the general fund, we've spoken about the general fund being overspend, or it was at this time of the last meeting. I don't know where we still are heading towards the outturn, but
from recollection, there were some ups and downs, but it was pretty much on track. Obviously, there's another 2 or 3 months to go.
We suggested last year that as part of the draft 19-20 budget, each director would be expected to find 100,000 of savings arising from the underspends as they became apparent during the year. That was an observation from last year. I just note those. Flicking through some of the other observations and comments, there's issues still revolving around the fleet, and some of you will know that I've raised issues around that. I think they've been dealt with, funnily enough, today. I think something will come back for those of you that were there about that issue, so I'm much more comfortable and reassured now on that issue for those of you that were at the meeting where the 5 million request came through. I'm feeling more comfortable and reassured about that now. Once again, we're underspend, again, big feature of last year's discussions all the way through. Transformation efficiency plan within the MTFS identified that further proactive treasury management could result in greater income generation. That was achieved last year, so that's good. The property funds have performed. The slightly more, I don't want to say aggressive, the slightly better risk management of the treasury function has led to greater income. I think we budget, as memory serves me, we were budgeting zero at one point last year. the year before on the Treasury Reserve, and we 280,000, as memory. I know there was a big jump because of the changes, but that's been a positive note that that's happened. Probably the first negative note in all these is I note the references to Limehurst, which I have no awareness of where we are with that as a progress a year on, and that's something we might want
to. Chair, would you like me to?
You can. You're very welcome to.
Yeah, I don't want to.
No, you're very welcome to. I just think it's good for us to run through what we said last year, and for us to make sure we've done our job and that we followed up on the wins and yeah. maybe the things that we haven't quite won on.
So there is a additional external support being recruited in, a chap called Chris Ives, who is a private sector development expert, and he will be working with colleagues from across the council with a focus on Limehurst as a development opportunity, but linked more broadly to the wider use of our assets. So it's very, very early days. He's only done, I think, probably half a day with us so far. So he will be gearing up from tomorrow onwards. When
he's 2 days a week, as I
understand. So he'll be in the building probably 1-2 days a week and working for a total of 3 days a week for 3 months. But he will be leading on Limehurst, but there is a wider agenda around the total use of our assets and looking at them with a fresh eyes, linked back to commercialisation and the office accommodation consolidation opportunities, agile working, etc. So there's a number of inter and overlapping sort of pieces of work that are going to come together, and Chris will be leading on one of those work already done here previously.
We need to make sure we coordinate that. We've been waiting on CSS for the corporate strategy and business plan to align our work programme more strategically going forward, and the management of all of our assets and making sure they're working and understanding what we've got, and the sweating appropriate forward is high on our radar.
Okay.
But we need to align that. We need those two documents. There's no point in us setting our long-term agenda and then going, oh, but the corporate strategy is going off in this direction. So we await those two documents. I know the first draft will come out Monday.
Yeah.
But so it's high on our radar as well.
Okay. So make sure for me, Chair, the first corporate sort of plan document that you'll see, I think, is relatively high level, but the next edition should talk more specifically about reviewing assets and commercialisation. More details and clarity will be coming through various documents I hope to take to Cabinet and via scrutiny over the next few months, and I'm quite confident that we'll be able to keep you informed and that will allow you the opportunity to set your work plan to fit in, and certainly a future conversation in this panel or at the Scrutiny Commission on our assets and our use of assets would be very welcome.
Thank you very much. Something I know nothing about, and members might be able to tell me more about, there was a reference last year to the panel noting the council intended to provide a trade-based collection service. I have no idea whether we've done that. I have no idea what it is. That's not the bulky goods service. So I have no idea what that is. I don't know whether that's a win or loss. I know nothing about it.
So my understanding, Chair, is that we have begun through Matt Bradford's team and through our private sector contract a trade waste scheme, which is relatively modest in its size at the moment. I believe it is revenue positive, but yeah,
I couldn't swear to that. Generate a small profit by 21-22, and I wrote down last year, I wonder if that's an operating profit or an actual profit.
Yeah. I can't give you the details.
That's fine.
Honest, Chair.
I don't know where it is, so it's only going through last year that it prompted and bring it back to my attention.
Chair, it did feature in the medium-term financial strategy within the transformation and efficiency plan. It talks about the initial plan was to be a small loss and then break even, and then £20,000 profit. So it is essentially very modest in scale. I think part of the nature of it is it's people have contracts with Tradeway suppliers, so they're there for a number of years. So it does take a certain amount of time to build up. But I understand from Matt that that's happened, and it is revenue positive in a relatively small way, so it's not going to change our world, but it is a sort of small
It's good for this panel. It's rare that we are able to sit here and check through things. We're often sitting in isolation at a lot of the meetings, and it's nice for us to be, I hope members welcome it, it's nice for us to be able to connect one or two bits. Again, underspend, major feature, 30% underspend in the 17-18 general fund capital scheme budget. I know we're currently still
Yeah,
going to spend on the capital scheme again. I don't know what the extent is. I need to recheck it when I sit on audit and we see it on dot dot dot. But we'll underspend again on the capital and we'll continue to want that addressed and improved. Yep. And
no, I understand.
I'm not playing the bail of my own personally, but members, I think we would like to see it better. We want the money spent where it's appropriate and in a timely way. And I think there's not much more that I want to note from it. I've got a couple more points I flagged that I thought was interesting. I think the major one that is still a major concern and getting worse is the internal audit control environment. We are I'm extraordinarily concerned about that position and can't pick that up again until I go back to audit committee, but I maintain extraordinarily concerned. Up until last year we had a high bill of health for us on audit committee. Our reassurances is only from the internal and external auditors. I know we get it from officers, but our additional level of assurance is from internal and external audit. And you know, I think it was December, we'd done 3% of the 2019-2020 audit by December. So we remain highly concerned about that, and we flagged it last year that it was a concern, and we dropped a level, and I continue and will continue to lobby on behalf of the public that we have strong internal audit controls. Yes, Councillor Barton.
Just to say on that, there is a report that is going to Cabinet this month about the position on the internal audit function, and I don't quite know how I've seen it.
It's the recommendation of the Audit Committee that they're going to make to Cabinet.
We asked our chairman to carry it vociferously back to Cabinet that we were very concerned.
So there is a report on that recommendation with a response from officers, and I think the Chair of Audit Committee is coming.
And at a time when the direction of travel of the Council is that we are very slightly, and not dangerously in any way, but very slightly increasing our appetite for risk, the need for strong internal audit controls, we need that to be in place for our own assurance on Audit Committee. Other little bits, a couple of other bits, again, Lyndhurst Depot reference, those issues. We've dealt with the issue of the outturn reports not being scrutinised before going to Cabinet. I think that's now written in. We tackled that. Certainly I was fairly ballistic about it last year, that the outturn reports went to Cabinet before we'd had a chance to scrutinise them. I believe that's now written in that they have to come to scrutiny before it goes to Cabinet. So I think that's been dealt with. And I think that's about it. I just thought it was interesting to go back to last year. Thank Councillor Meir, because I think Councillor Meir chaired it last year.
I did, yeah.
Thank Councillor Meir for his work last year. But I think it's nice to go back and revisit it and just see some of the topics remain the same and we haven't achieved what we'd have liked. Some we have, and we continue to progress. I think, and I'll welcome some feedback later, but I think we've tried the best we can with the resources and knowledge we had to do a decent job on the budget this year, and I feel responsibly we've commented in the right way about the budget and done our job and report back to Cabinet. So we'll start the Scrutiny Commission Monday. If members are happy to pass that, if there are no further comments from officers or members, I'm happy to put that through. Ask for you to pass it. Everyone agreed? Everyone happy?
Yeah.
And I think, much as it's delightful to finish quite so quickly, that draws to a close and then our meeting this evening. And if you're happy to present... if I'm required to, I'm sure that the Chair of Scrutiny Commission will ask me to say something to present it on Monday evening. If that's okay, members are happy?
Of course.
Splendid. Thank you very much. Appreciate all the references this year. Thank you very much.
Thank you.